disenchanted with the consciousness that arises, which is the seeing consciousness, disenchanted with the eye contact, disenchanted with the feeling that arises from eye contact, whether it's pleasant, painful, or neutral, that too they become disenchanted with. They become disenchanted with the other organ, he repeats, for the ear, for the nose, for the tongue, and for the mind, body and mind. Then after that, after becoming disenchanted, their greed fade away. With the fading away of greed, the heart is liberated. With liberation, there comes the understanding. It is liberated. And they know destroy is birth. The holy life has been lived. Done is what is to be done. There is no more coming into any state of being or becoming. Thus spoke the Blessed One. Delighted, the bhikkhu rejoiced in what the Lord had said. Moreover, while this discourse was being uttered, the mind of those 1,000 bhikkhu were free from defilement, without any further attachment. They realize arahantship. So this actually is a very powerful sermon, the fire sermon. So if you have the mindfulness and the understanding, you will like this sutta like anything. Just like in the early day when I saw this sutta, I said, this is beautiful. That's why they will become enlightened, awakened. Because you will understand very clearly through your mindfulness that all this will lead to suffering and every organ is burning. Burning means what? When the house is burning, if you run in, what happens? You will be burned. Correct or not? So when you use your organ without understanding, without knowing that it's burning, you somehow allow it to burn. The Buddha say burning with what? The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. If you don't have greed, hatred, and delusion, then you can use the senses. That's why I always tell you all, the user of thought is very important. Without the evil root, your form and mind is beautiful. The user of them is beautiful. But with delusion, especially self-delusion, the form and mind will be deluded. And because of that, every thought you arise is wrong thought. Every sense experience that you experience is burning. Burning with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when you are aware of this, you will be wary of all this evil root. So the key to cultivation is to understand clearly what constitutes evil. What constitutes the greed, hatred, and delusion. So you have to root this out. And to root it out is to see their danger and never allow it to stay in your heart or your mind. That is to develop the wisdom, the understanding, so that you can be very mindful of all this. Then you learn through the meditation, the five ways to abandon them. The third way and the fourth way is the best. The third way is to see clearly their condition arising nature. That you are silent, don't do anything, be with it, at peace with whatever sense experience. Means you don't stir your mind, you don't react, like what I shared with you yesterday. Just silent, be with it, stay with it, at peace with it, all sense experience or situation. When you do that, the original state of the true mind, which is stillness, tranquility, and peace, will return to you. Because all this arising through the evil root, they are conditioned arising state. When the mind stirs, it comes to be. Then if you try to fight it, control it, suppress it, you create more energy, fuel, then they become stronger. That's why they burn with greed, hatred, and delusion. We are through delusion. You try to do something, and you are using the thought to do the thought that is still deluded. That's why thought-based meditation is very difficult, practically impossible. So what you need to do is to remain aware, silent. Don't try to know. Then understand what is going on. And then you will come to understand, like what the Buddha said, you will start to understand how the non-arisen hindrance or evil comes to be. Then when it ceases, you will come to know how the arisen evil root or hindrance ceases. When you already know how it arises and how it ceases, you will know how to trace the origination factor of this defilement or evil root. Then retrospectively, you straighten your view and you will know how to reverse it. So this fire sermon actually complements the cultivation, the training, by telling you very clearly that everything is burning. When you have the evil root, every sense organ is burning. Every sense data that come in is burning. That every contact that arises is burning. That every consciousness that arises upon contact is burning. Then the whole dependent origination chain, you will start to see. They are all burning. Feeling that arises after contact is also burning. Whether pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So all this, when you understand, when you really meditate and cultivate, your mind will liberate. Yeah, you see the danger in it. That's why the Buddha, through the fire sermon, was able to help many, many of the monks at that time. Then when you truly understand, the mind will not be deluded anymore. It will not cling, it will not grasp. They use the word disenchanted, but actually that word got a negative connotation. But the actual happening is no negative connotation. You just know them for what they are. You are not deluded by them anymore. But you know how to use them. Because you will come to understand that as long as there is no greed, no hatred, no delusion, the consciousness are pure consciousness, beautiful. They are non-grasping, because it's not deluded. When it's not deluded, there is no greed, no ill will, no evil root of greed and hatred. So this sermon is very, very profound, very useful. So when you have the possibility of understanding, you should go back and reflect, read, then develop the understanding. Okay? Any question? We got 5 more minutes before you start your meditation. Any question or anything you want to ask? Don't have, best. You start your meditation now. I will help you to off the light. So today's more stringent schedule is slightly different. I have checked the schedule. 9 to 10:30, you're supposed to do your formal sitting and walking meditation, followed by the daily mindfulness training. You can do whatever training that can make you mindful. You can stand in contemplation, or do your bowing, or do your walking as before. Then you can also relax, walk naturally, and maintain mindfulness of all action and all movement while going through life. Then always be heedful to understand how you have actually settled down over the last 4 or 5 days. Then how this mind has become less heedless, more peaceful, more quiet. But you will also come to understand how your mind actually reacts unless you're already very, very skillful in your understanding of the meditation. Because even after you settle down, your mind will still complain, sit until leg also pain already, scared to sit already. Then you don't know what to do. You try to walk. Means your mind is disturbing you, understand? That's why you cannot see the attachment, the aversion or dislike of the mind. That's why you need to reflect and contemplate. You tell yourself, why am I here? I'm here because I determined to attend this retreat. I determined to develop the spiritual faculty, the faith, the virya. Then I determined to cultivate sati and mindfulness. Then why am I not doing it? Why am I allowing this mind to tell me things that discourages me? Because you have delusion. You attach to all this bodily comfort and you cannot endure. You cannot actually determine to sacrifice your important training time to develop this wisdom. So when you start to contemplate and reflect, then you will recall your motive and intention behind the focus. Then look at the objective that I have written down. Have you developed them? And then your mind will be different. It will drive you to cultivate. So hopefully, this can help you. Then at 10:30, we will have a Q&A. Then you can report your meditation. Then you want to ask anything, you can. Then after that, you have lunch as before. Then you have your rest time, clean up. Then 1:30 to 4 o'clock again is formal meditation, but with a lot of additional detail. Because this is 2.5 hours, I don't know whether it's too long for you or not. If it's too long, you give me the feedback and let me know. Formal meditation, we are sitting or lying down or walking, plus daily mindfulness training. You can combine them all. We are bowing and Dhamma contemplation, reflection, inquiry, etc. within the vicinity of this temple area while moving around and while in the standing posture, sitting, lying down posture, and walking posture. Always be natural. The key is be natural and to maintain a relaxation of form and mind at all times. Just silent, aware, relax, be natural. Then when you are attentive, when you are silent more and more, you are with the moment more and more, you become less heedless, you got less thought, less thinking. You are no longer like before when you are heedless. The thought continue non-stop. The thought precede your action and speech and thought process. So all this you will start to see clearly. Then you will see the big difference between heedful mind and the heedless mind. And you will determine not to be heedless anymore. But it's so different. One is so beautiful, the other one is so miserable. That's why you read the appendix on the untrained mind. On training the mind. What is a trained mind? What is an untrained mind? The two. You can see them very clearly. It's clearly stated there. Okay, so I leave it to you to meditate. Okay.